Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Thank you so much for joining us again for episode 7. We're really excited about this topic today. We are going to be chatting about how to pitch collaborations to destinations. So we have a lot of valuable information to share, and we also have a lot of tips and tricks that we want to share with you guys as well. But before we begin, let's make sure we do our timeout for trends section. Jacqueline, do you want to share with the audience today what we're going to be chatting about?
Yes. So today's timeout for trends comes to us from Agility PR Solutions. So this is a PR software company that helps with media lists and measuring and evaluation and all sorts of things. But because influencer marketing is such a big part of our brands and our communication strategies, especially with social media being a part of that, I think this tip is so important for us. So they did a study and really shared some of the data that came out of that. And one of the things that they talked about was the two biggest challenges that influencer marketers face when doing this type of marketing. The first biggest challenge that influencer marketers face is ROI. How do we measure it? Jess, have you experienced some of this or have any thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because as an influencer, we can do our best to provide data and analytics. For example, post-campaign, if I go to a destination, I always provide screenshots of either my Instagram post or my Facebook reach or even Google Analytics to show how many people clicked in, viewed the blog post. So we can give as much as possible on our end, but it is kind of tricky to determine how many people did I actually get over to, you know, say that beach destination that we just visited, because sometimes people don't just view your stories and then book a trip the next day. You could have influenced somebody, you know, up to a year ago about going to a specific destination. So how do you actually measure that and share with your destination that you do have power and influence to help this destination? So I totally understand on both the destination and the influencer side how this could be a major challenge.
Yeah. I know one of the things that my team has more recently tried to implement is really trying not only to measure quantitative measurements and data and statistics, but a lot of PR is really about the perception of the brand and how people view a business or a company or a destination. So a lot of the analytics that we're trying to implement more of are those qualitative pieces of data. And like you said, when someone DMs you or messages you, those anecdotal stories are actually so powerful. And I think that shows a lot of ROI, even though it's not, you know, a dollar amount or a number. It's so nice to hear those stories from influencers.
Oh yeah, 100% agree. And I think for any influencer out there listening, I think it's important to, if you ever get a DM or an email or message from somebody that, you know, it could be a year later after you feature that destination, but they say, hey, you know, thanks to you, we booked our trip, we stayed at this hotel, we did this activity. I would send that to the destination, screenshot it, send it over so the destination knows, hey, you know, influencer marketing does work. And it's just is another piece of data that you can provide to them.
Definitely. And so that leads me to the next challenge that this article mentioned. The second most challenging thing about influencer marketing is the rising costs and compensation of influencers. And I think with more and more people wanting to become influencers or trying to join this field of business, so to speak, mm-hmm. that this is becoming an issue.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I can see right both sides of the table on this, because as an influencer, I've been doing this for the last couple years. And so when a company reaches out to me and is not willing to pay or doesn't have the budget, but expects a lot of work from me, it's really hard to sign off on that deal because it is my business. And it's not just I do this as a hobby or, you know, so it is, they're asking for free work. But I also feel for the destinations who maybe have a limited budget and perhaps they're not able to pay you a lot of money. Maybe they can just host you in their destination. So I think both sides of the table need to be understanding about budget costs, but also not asking somebody to work for free either.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. I think I definitely, as a marketer and as knowing this influencer field and artist field, I definitely want to be able to pay influencers. That's not something that we don't want to be cheap about. but we definitely, working with some of these smaller destinations that just don't have a lot of money, it gets really difficult to try to compensate and give influencers the amount that they're worth while still trying to create a really strong and positive campaign for the destination. So I think one of the things that helps with this is hearing the influencer talk about themselves and their worth in their pitches. And so that kind of leads into our deep dive today.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got a lot of questions on both sides of the table for destinations and for influencers. And we're going to be talking specifically about how to pitch a destination.
Yep. I know this is something that we are experiencing more and more of, which I'm personally glad about. I love it. I love hearing influencers take that leap and that stretch and really challenge themselves to reach out to us first. But I also love to hear what kind of pitches and what they have to say. So we want to make sure that we're sharing the right things.
Exactly. Okay. So you've mentioned that you've been getting more and more of these pitches. Can you tell me more about those pitches? For example, like, what are the things that you like to see when influencers pitch your destinations?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways. And I know I've mentioned this in a past episode. Being a part of an agency, we don't get a lot of pitches to the agency. So I will start with that. I think it would be cool if influencers did that because there's a lot more opportunity than just one destination. But I know that's not the first thing that influencers think about. So something to ponder there.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, definitely. I think as a part of the destination side of things, our local clients or even our clients around the country, they get a lot more pitches from influencers. And so that's definitely something that an influencer should think first about is who are they trying to pitch and really think about that person specifically and what they want to say. Are they a destination or are you trying to go for that agency that maybe has more collaboration opportunities more frequently?
That's a great point. So what tip would you give an influencer if they find out a destination works through an agency? Would you have a very specific pitch of, hey, I want to work with this destination that you run? Or would you suggest that the influencer send you a pitch in general of, hey, we're interested in all of your destinations. Where's a good fit for us?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if they're looking at a specific destination, they're planning a trip there, and that's kind of their main goal, it's totally not a problem to have them pitch specifically for that destination. It really helps to have the influencer have something in mind that they're looking for, so it helps set those expectations and those goals right off the bat. However, if you're looking at different agencies, I would make sure that you know which type of collaborations you're going for. So for example, with Relic, we are a tourism-based agency. And I can't say that for all agencies out there. So if you are looking for tourism-specific collaborations, I think it would be awesome and totally fine to reach out to that agency just generally and say, you know, I'm looking for influencer opportunities and I am looking specifically at this destination at this time, but I would love to, you know, would be open to anything that you guys want to do because we're always looking for long-term partnerships and collaborations and things like that for anyone.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's awesome that you can be specific and let them know your plans and a specific destination, but also let them know that you're open to other possibilities and you have flexibility within your schedule or your content calendar. So I think that's great. So we've chatted about a few things that you like to see in pitches. What are some things that you don't particularly like to see when influencers send you an email?
Yes. So I think this one gets a little bit harder. Every pitch, every person is so different. And obviously we've talked about this as well. Everyone's influencing brands or their platforms all cover such a wide variety of things that you almost can't go wrong when you pitch. But at the same time, I think it's important to be specific as well. So I actually have a couple examples for us today. I'm not going to name names, but one of the pitches that I got a couple of weeks ago was really awesome, and there's nothing that they did wrong. This is a perfectly fine pitch, but we already had an established relationship, so that also helps. But their email said, "Hope you're doing well. I had an idea after hiking with one of my friends that I met from Instagram. Recently, we did a girls' trip with ladies who all met online through Instagram and who live in Utah. Do you have any clients who would want to host a group of girls that are already friends but also do Instagram?
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Jess? How does that pitch feel to you?
Unprofessional, personally.
Do tell.
I think, and maybe, and this is just, I might have a different style. I think I like to remain a little bit more professional on my emails. I feel like it's not very specific. I would have liked to know more details if I was on your end of, okay, who are these ladies? What are their handles? What expectations do you have for me? Are you expecting just to be hosted? Are you expecting payment? To me, it seems very vague and unprofessional, but maybe I'm wrong.
I love this spicy opinion. No, I love
yes. it. Yes. To me, it's just different. I've never pitched like that before. So it's just, it's a very different pitch style than I'm used to.
Yeah. Yeah. We do get some pitches like this, but I will totally validate you because the next email I sent her was, who are these people? And, you know, kind of looking into that cost question, you know, if there are five people going on this trip and I can barely afford one person for these mm-hmm. small destinations, how am I going to do five? So mm-hmm. you're definitely right on track there.
Okay. Well, good. Good. I guess that feels nice to be validated too. Yeah. That I'm not off on that. Have you gotten any other examples that you'd like to share?
Yep. I have one more example for us. And this one was one I absolutely loved. I will add a caveat since we just talked about, you know, follow-up questions and things like that. This person, I also have a personal relationship with. We have actually hired them before as well. So I knew her pricing. I have her media kit. Those questions were not an issue here, but I loved how specific she got. And here's what she said. I'm just following up on your contact to see if there's been any discussion about a canyoneering collaboration. We recently posted a reel of us doing a canyon last week and got a great response. Lots of families and individuals asked for more information on how to, guides to use, how we got started, and more. It would make for a fun and interesting collab with lots of good info for those starting out and for those who are already proficient. We are happy to offer suggestions on canyons as needed.
Love that. Love that one.
Yep. It was so specific. I love that anecdotal qualitative story of people want this. This is something that I've noticed my audience wants. So I already know it's going to be a positive collaboration going in and that everyone is going to love it. And then our client is going to get some good PR and possibly get some automatic travel because people want to do that. They want to go there.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a couple of things that I especially love about this. If I dissect it a little bit more, first off, I think it's important to note that, as you said, she or this person, individual, did already have a relationship with you. I wouldn't specifically say this would be the first email introduction email that I would have sent to a destination, but it is a good follow-up once you already have established that relationship. A few things that I love about this is they shared, you know, that reel that they posted about. They gave an example and they found a need within their audience and they're looking to fill that need through a collaboration with your agency. So I think it's a fantastic pitch. For me, if I were to have received that email, I would definitely want to follow up and get more information and go from there and figure out timelines and get them over to, you know, that specific canyon that they mentioned.
Yep. And you know what? Because of this email, I am pushing a lot harder with our client to try to make this happen because we love this partnership, because we love this influencer, and because they've done really good work for us in the past as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's important to note. If you can impress the agency as an influencer, they're going to vouch for you for that destination. But if you don't impress the agency with your pitch or with your media kit, they're not going to vouch for you. They're not going to stick their neck out for you if they are not sure that you're going to do a great job or if your email was very unspecific. So make sure you're pitching to the best of your ability when you're emailing agencies or destinations.
Yeah. So one of the things that we haven't quite covered as well is that first pitch, right? These mm-hmm. two, I both knew them. We both had that relationship already established. So one question I have for you, Jess, is when you're reaching out for the first time or when you're planning a trip, do you plan or pitch the destination around the trip you already have planned? Or are you pitching a destination for a trip that you want to plan?
Gosh, I would probably say both to that answer. In the past, we've pitched to destinations where we're already going to be whether that be just passing through because we've got to get to another spot, or we just simply want to go to that destination. But there's been other times that I pitch specifically because my audience has asked for that. So for example, in the last couple months, I've gotten a couple of DMs about Lake Tahoe. And so for me, that tells me, okay, my audience is interested in this spot. And that gives me some motivation to reach out to, you know, Lake Tahoe and different brands and hotels around there to start planning a trip because I know my audience is interested in that. So whether it be a personal want or I find a need within my audience, that's usually how I determine of who I'm going to pitch.
That's awesome. I love that. And it gives you that leverage. You know, my audience is already asking about this, so let's do it. Just like that other example I shared.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So when you go to send that email to the destination, let's say, you know, you're going for this Lake Tahoe because you've mm-hmm. gotten these DMs, who do you email first off?
So I'll find the local tourism board. Typically, they'll have a website, and then I'll go to the contact page within it. Usually, each tourism board will have a general like info at and their, you know, their tourism board name. I rarely send emails to that because it doesn't go to the people that I need it to go. And sometimes it just doesn't make its way to the PR department. So I will try and find on the contact page their PR contact. If there's nothing for PR contact, I'll try and find the marketing team lead and I'll send them. I've even gone through LinkedIn. And I've been able to find people who run the destinations from there. I've also been able to find if, you know, if they don't personally do influencer marketing and they've hired out an agency, I'll just ask them for their agency's name and then I'll reach out directly to the agency. So I'll either do that through an email or sometimes I've actually just called them up front as well. And that seems to be kind of effective as well if I have an email already to go with my media kit.
I love that. So much work that goes into that, but I do know when the destination gets it, that at least when the PR person gets it, that it really is such a big help because it's so hard to research and find people. So having that pitch is already a first step in the door. That sounds so great. And I know from experience that a lot of these destinations, even if you email the destination and they do have an agency or they don't handle influencers for themselves, we get forwarded those emails. So as an agency, you will be heard.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. Yeah. So I think the first step is just find the right contact. And if you're having troubles finding the right contact, ask. Don't just simply send off a blind email. Ask for the correct person to reach out to. You can even call the tourism board and ask for their PR or marketing department and get an email from them. So I guess that would be my tip is do your very best to find the correct department to send that email to.
I love that. And I don't think your work will go unnoticed for sure. So it definitely makes the difference. So when we go into that next step, you've got the contact information, you know who you're contacting. What does this email look like? How do you pitch them? What goes into that pitch?
Mm-hmm. So the very first email, I don't have it incredibly long. I keep it to a couple of paragraphs. I attach my media kit, let them know it's there. But I'm very specific of what I'm interested in covering. I let them know the time frame that I'd like to visit their destination. I'll let them know who I'll be traveling with. I'll let them know what I'll be providing, whether that be an article, whether that be, you know, Instagram shares or whatever I'm offering to provide. And then I'll let them know my media kit is attached. And then I'll give them contact information to get in, you know, a hold of me to chat more about this destination or about this collaboration. So those are the things that I'll provide, but at the same time, I try not to make it more than 3 paragraphs long because I just think that's excessive for the first email.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And PR professionals definitely follow the exact same rule when we pitch people as well, whether it's an influencer or even journalists and media members. It's the same thing, just a couple of paragraphs, something very to the point, very brief. But I love the fact that you add your media kit to it as well. I think we've been surprised at how many pitches we get that don't have media kits attached, and that's usually the first question we end up asking anyway. So that's definitely a good tip to keep in mind for anyone out there who wants to know.
Oh yeah, for sure, because you can include so much more information in a media kit, and it's visually appealing versus including all of that information in paragraphs and more paragraphs within that first email. So keep your first email short, specific, professional. But you can also have it fun email as well. You can be professional and fun at the same time. Get them excited to entertain the idea of hosting you in their destination. So yeah, that would be you know, I did not start off that way. I had a lot of learning. It was a learning curve of how to pitch destinations. But to this day, I use that strategy when pitching destinations.
Well, I agree with that strategy. So if anyone out there is curious, I think that's a good strategy to start with. And everyone always has their own personality and flair to add to it. So, I mean, definitely it's not a formulaic, you know, here's the right way, but mm-hmm. it's definitely a good start.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Agreed. Well, we've had an amazing discussion on how to pitch collaborations with a destination. Thank you for joining us. I do want to let you know that our next episode, we are going to continue this discussion, but we are going to have on a very special guest. So make sure you stay tuned for that episode and come join us again for episode 8. But for now, we appreciate you joining us and we hope to see you next time.
Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Jess and Jacqueline and produced by Relic.